So a pasuk in Sheni is pasuk Yud Beis pasuk Chaf 12:20. So the pasuk says, "Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha as gvulcha kashadi balach," when Hashem broadens your boundaries, as He's told you He'll do, and He's Moshe speaking to the Jewish people before they come into Eretz Yisrael. So when Hashem broadens your boundaries and gives you the expansiveness of Eretz Yisrael, when you cross over the Yarden to come into Eretz Yisrael, v'omarta, and you'll say, och lebasa, let's go and have a steak. I want to eat meat. Kisava nafshecha lechol basa, because your soul, you crave to eat meat. To your heart's desire, may you eat meat. In other words, when you want to eat meat, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, then you'll be allowed to eat meat. Now, the reason why the pasuk is saying this is because the consumption of meat was typically assigned to karbonis, to sacrifices, and only shechting or doing the sacrifice of the animals for the sake of the meat. And only in that context, so the pasuk is saying a chiddush, that even though there's no Beis HaMikdash before the, or even if you don't, if you're far away and you're not by near the Beis HaMikdash, the pasuk goes on, that you're far away from the Beis HaMikdash and you can't get there and you want to eat meat, no problem. Zavachtem bekarcha, you shall slaughter your cattle, your sheep, that Hashem's given to you, as I've commanded you. And don't worry, you can eat in your gates to your heart's content. With all your desire, you can eat that meat which you want wherever you are. So this class may not be for the vegetarians among us, but it's saying over here that, I mean, there is a discussion about this. You see clearly the permit to eat meat. People have this discussion, is the ideal diet a vegetarian diet? I'm not going to go into that. Certainly, it's halachically allowed, you can see it, and many times it's a mitzvah to eat meat. We're not going to discuss that today. But the pasuk is saying that when you want to eat meat, you can eat meat wherever you are. You just have to shecht it, you have to slaughter it. On that, it's interesting because the reference to the shechita, to the proper ritual slaughter of the meat, is in the words, zavachtem bekarach, you shall slaughter the cattle, the sheep, ashenos, Hashem's given to you, kashet zivisicha, as I've commanded you. As I've commanded you. This is one of the famous places in the Torah where it alludes to the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral tradition. It doesn't tell us anything about, the Torah never says anything about how to do Shechita and all the laws, many, many laws, very complicated. There's no mention whatsoever in the Torah, in the Torah Shebiksav, about the halachas of Shechita. But it's alluded to in this pasuk over here. Kashet Tzivisicha, as I've commanded you. As I've commanded you, where were we commanded? At Sinai. Because just as the Torah Shebiksav was given at Har Sinai, the written Torah was given at Mount Sinai, the Torah Shebaal Peh was also given at Sinai. And how many times have we mentioned this over and over and over again? So that if there's any information which is missing in the Chumash, or at least it seems like it's missing, we know there's a tremendous volume and body of Torah Shebaal Peh where so many of the answers are found, if not all the answers. You know, the bulk of Torah comes from Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebiksav are merely like notes, they're cliff notes on the oral lecture which was given to the Har Sinai. So this is one of the famous sources for that. The Art Scroll mentions this as well in the footnotes over here. Kashet Zivisicha, as I've commanded you at Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, regarding the laws of Shechita. So therefore, when you want to eat meat, make sure you eat it according to the halachas of Shechita. This is also a reminder that kosher meat doesn't just mean kosher species. Kosher meat means meat and chicken, which is shechted, which is slaughtered according to the halacha. So even though it's a big madrega, and we give a lot of credit for people who advance in their journey in kashrus, and it's tremendous, you know, respect and compliments for people who do that and they're journeying in their observance of kashrus, and they eliminate shellfish and they eliminate pork and pig and the like. But the journey is not over. The journey is not over, because I mean, it's a major part of the journey of kashrus is to also make sure not to consume meat and chicken which hasn't been shechted properly. It's also a mitzvah deraisa. It's as important as the others as well. And the allusion for it is kashet tzivisicha, as I only slaughter it in the way that I've commanded you to do it. Don't eat meat and chicken from other types of slaughtering. It's not qualified as kosher slaughter. That's what the pasuk is referring to. So the pasuk is telling us that when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you're far away from the Beis HaMikdash, don't worry, you can eat meat wherever you are. You don't need the Beis HaMikdash, you can slaughter it as long as you do follow the laws of Shechita. You can eat meat till your heart's desire. The problem with this pasuk, I think it stands out when you read the pasuk, if you have a luchumish in front of you, it's kind of strange, because the way that the pasuk is emphasizing the desire, listen to this again. When you come to Eretz Yisrael, and you say, I'm going to eat meat. Kisava nafshecha, because you desire to eat meat. With all of the desire of your soul, you could eat the meat. And then it says for a third time, at the end of the next pasuk, with all of the desire of your, they translate this as your heart. With all of your desire of your heart, eat meat. Just go fresh. Just go get the biggest steak possible and just like eat as much as you can of it. You know, don't worry. Like just dig in and just eat that meat and just love it and like just absorb it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that the Torah should speak this way. You know, if it wants to give a permit to eat meat and to shecht it according to halacha, just simply say, when you come to Eretz Yisrael and you're far away from the Beis HaMikdash and you desire and you want to eat meat, v'omarta ochla, you could really do away with everything and just say, v'omarta ochla, and you say, I'll eat meat, ochla bas, I want to eat meat, no problem. You could skip and say, and go all the way till v'zavachta, and just, okay, go ahead and shecht it according to the halachas and then eat it. What is all the stress on the desire and on the passion for the meat? Doesn't make any sense. Especially, you know, we know how much have we learned about the importance of diminishing the power of desire and diminishing the power of eating and indulgence. So many sources, it's all over the place. Just to cite again some sources which I was looking at, you know, very powerful source is the Sefer Chinuch in the mitzvah of Shin Ayin Dalet 374, where he's discussing the mitzvah of the Nazir, the Nazirite, who he takes the vow of abstinence from any kind of wine products, grape products. So the Sefer Chinuch writes the following. He says to appreciate, he gives a very, very broad and important appreciation of the relationship between body and soul, the body and the soul. He says that because man, he actually is referring back to an introduction he wrote much earlier. The way the world is created with all different stratas of creatures. There are the sun and the moon and the stars. There are the angels, the malachim and the shemayim and the spiritual realms. And there are animals and there's human beings. All of these different dimensions of creation all express the tremendous praise of Hashem. Aside from the myriads and myriads of creatures and the colors and the variety of species which are in the world, which all just bespeak the magnificence and the tremendous power and presence of Hashem in the world. It's an interesting thing just to preach when you go to the zoo, you go to an aquarium, you look at them, you marvel at the colors and the complexity of fish and creatures. It's all a chesed from Hashem. He's given us all of this experience in order to appreciate what he's done in this world. It's all to praise Hashem, he says. To praise him, to see the variety, and to praise Hashem for the variety. But part of the variety also includes the different stratas of existence as well. He says, the malachim, the angels, purely spiritual. That's a purely spiritual set of creatures. Then he speaks about the sun and the moon and the stars. It's interesting, he describes that as being like a spiritual celestial body, which is just permanently fixed in the heavens. There's a spirituality to the heavenly spheres. We've learned about that. But they're not the same as the human being. And also then there's the next level, which is the animals themselves. The animals don't have any spirituality. There's no ruchnius, there's no neshama. I mean, there's a life force in them. There is life force in the animals, but there's no neshama. There's no spiritual neshama inside the animals. And then finally, this man who has this miraculous, phenomenal blend of spirituality and physicality within him. And he says the reason why he did this, one of the reasons why we are made with this incredible blend of spirituality and physicality fused into one, is to augment the praise of Hashem that there's nothing lacking in the entirety of creation. He makes the physical beings, he makes the spiritual beings, he can even make a creature which blends and merges together the neshama and the physical body together. A miracle. The fact that there's a physical mass, the physical body, and merged and blended into it, into every part of it, is a neshama completely and utterly miraculous and caused to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. That's why we say in the morning, the brachas, you know, for using the bathroom, Asher Yotzar, right? And then the bracha ends, Umafli La'asos, he performs wonders. And the next bracha after that is Elkai Neshama, my neshama that you breathed inside of me is pure, etc. The juxtaposition of the bracha on the body to the bracha on the neshama is to teach us that's a miracle. And that's why the end, last words of the first bracha is Umafli La'asos, he performs tremendous wonders, miracles. That fusion itself of the neshama inside the body is an incredible miracle. But that's the miracle of the human being. And he says, but because of that, we therefore have to take care of the body, because we can't ignore the body. We can't go ahead and ignore the body. We've got to take care of the body. Since it's subjugated to this, he describes it, the house of the body, it must occasionally veer from the service of its creator. We have to turn away from our focus, our direct focus on serving Hashem by davening, by learning, to tend to the needs of its home where it lives. So we have to take care of our body. For a home structure and its lumber and its stones cannot stand without a person minding it. You've got to take care of the house, otherwise it's going to leak. If so, as the intention of man's creation was according to what we've just said, therefore, whenever the intellect can minimize physical work and focus on its master, this is good for it. So long as it does not completely ignore the work of the house and destroy it, as that would be considered a sin also. In other words, we are created with our body, so we have to take care of it. It's incumbent upon us to take care of it, to look after the body. We're in this house called the body, and we have to take care of it. However, with the caution, don't get overly indulge in it, because you can easily get pulled into it, and we do. We get pulled into the body. It overtakes us because we can feel, we can see, we can sense the bodily drives, and it's overwhelming. So it's so easy. But we have to take care of it, he says. It's part of the plan of creation that we are made together with a body with which to praise Hashem for that miracle of the fusion of body and soul and other reasons as well. And we have to take care of the body, look after it, but don't get lost inside the body. So it's a reminder. Don't get lost with the body. So the question is, again, going back to the Pasuk, you know, the Pasuk seems to be imbalanced with these types of ideas of focusing on the body and the desire of the flesh and eating meat, etc. Another source, also very famous Medrash quoted before, brought in the Mesillas Yesharim. Mesillas Yesharim writes, Kol shekein she'eina mitzah shum nachas ruach b'chol inugei zaholam, the neshama has no pleasure, has no delight from the physical world. And it's based upon what it says in the Medrash, Kalas Rabba, Gamma Nefesh Lo Somali, the Pasuk says, the soul has no satiation. Has no satiation. What does that mean? Says the Medrash, Mashal Lamadov, what is this similar to? The Ironi, to a city, to a villager, Shanasa Bas Melech, a peasant who married a princess. If the peasant would bring to the princess all of the delights and all of the pleasures of the world that he is familiar with, that he has experience of, wouldn't be worth anything to her. Why? She basmela, because she is the daughter of the king. She comes from the palace. She's used to much more sophisticated, much more expensive, and much more refined types of gifts. What the peasant can bring will never measure up in the slightest to what she's used to, what she desires. Kacha nefesh, so also the nefesh. And by the way, the word nefesh is oftentimes used synonymously with the word neshama. So keep that in mind as we go further. The nefesh, ilu havasa lo kol ma'adoni olam, if you would bring all of the pleasures of this physical world to the nefesh, to the neshama, enim klum lo. It wouldn't be worth anything to it. Why? Shehi min al yoni, because the neshama inside of us comes from those lofty, elevated, refined, supernal, spiritual realms of the heavens. That's where it comes from. So what can you give to the physical? What can you give to the neshama? You're going to give a piece of steak. You're going to give a house. You're going to give a car. You're going to give all of these physical things. And the neshama has no satiation from it. And the neshama craves, wants to be only dovek, clinging and cleaving to the spiritual realm and to the mitzvahs and to Torah and all of the things which go along with that. That's what the neshama wants. So you can't bring to the neshama any physical delight and physical pleasure. So again, what is the pasuk saying? Eat meat with all of your desire, with all of your passion and all of your craving. Doesn't make sense. And then finally, one more, just to really bolster the point. It says, we learned this several months ago in Bamidbar, in the Parsha Baalusacha, about the Asafsuf, the people who were craving, had gluttonous craving for meat. The story of the craving for the meat, Kivras Taiva, the suffering and the punishment they experienced for the overindulgence in meat that the Parsha there describes. So how do we explain all of this? What is going on in this pasuk over here? What is this overstress and emphasis on the desire of your heart and your craving for meat? So many commentators address this. I'm going to just share with you two of them, which really, they're very similar to each other, slight variation between the two of them. One of this is the Chassam Sofa. The Chassam Sofa, very famous classic commentary. See, he says, if you look carefully at the pasuk, you have to be very nuanced in the reading of the pasuk. The pasuk says, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, v'omarta ochle basa, and you'll say, I shall eat meat. Kisava nafshecha lechol, because your heart desires to eat meat. And then it goes on with this description of the desire of the heart. So he says and teaches us a very, very, very important posture and habit in eating meat, or in eating in general, that is. To apply this meat, I think, is the ultimate example, because it's it represents most the indulgence of desire. So he says, when you say, I shall eat meat, when you say I shall eat meat, that means I'm not eating meat because I desire to eat meat. Rather, I'm going to eat meat. Why? Because I need to eat in order to live, in order to do my job. So when you say, so really he says, the pasuk is giving us almost like an ideal approach to eating in general and eating meat. And the ideal is to approach eating with the following statement, I now shall eat. Now I'm going to eat. Now, why would you say it that way? You see, when you say it that way, what you're saying is you're recognizing the fact that I need to eat. I need to take care of myself. I need to get fuel in the body. So for example, you're driving on the highway and your gas goes low. You're not going to say, imagine someone saying, oh, I'm craving a full tank of gas. I'm craving a full tank of gas. You don't say that. You say, we need gas. We need to stop and get gas in the car. So when it comes to eating and consumption, the ideal mindset is to say, oh, it's time to eat. I have to eat because I'm feeling a recognition. I'm having recognition. There's a deficiency of energy inside my body, or it's time to eat. I know that I need to eat twice a day, three times a day. Oh, it's time to eat. I'll now eat without being predicated on any desire. Because then he says, because the pasuk goes on, because that's the ideal way to eat, to say, I shall eat mindfully, intentionally. Why? Because your nefesh, bahamis, your animal soul craves to eat meat. Your animal soul just craves it. And you want to avoid that. Don't make the eating based upon the craving of the nefesh bahamis, of the animal soul. Say, I'll eat meat mindfully, intellectually, for the sake of eating, because I need to eat. Not because your animal soul craves to eat. That's not the best way to eat, right? Don't eat when you're hungry, right? And starving, because what happens? You overeat and then you lose sight of the eating. The best way to eat, he says, is to eat before you have any craving, before you have any desire. So it's a little bit of a taich in the pasuk, like a slight nuance in the reading of the pasuk, but it explains the idea and the message and the lesson the proper way to eat is to eat mindfully, intentionally, without the desire, without the craving, without that craving. That's how the Chasam Sofas explains it. Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, in the famous work, the Pri Tzadok, he says a different pshat. He says, I said before, the word nefesh, right? The word nefesh is used interchangeably to refer to what I just said right now, the nefesh baham is the animal soul, but oftentimes it's used in reference to the neshama itself, to the higher soul, to the higher soul. So he understands and he explains the pasuk of ki nafshecha, ki sava nafshecha, the nafshecha and the pasuk is indeed referring to the higher soul, the higher soul. So that when the pasuk reads, when you say, I'm going to eat meat, why? Because my higher soul desires to eat meat. Because my neshama craves to eat meat. How can your neshama crave to eat meat? Why would your neshama crave to eat meat? The answer is it depends of to what extent a person is plugged in. It's the same thing as what I said a second ago with the Chasam Sofa. It's where are you plugged in? Am I plugged in to the relation to the proper perspective on food? I'm here with my body. I need to take care of my body. And in order to serve Hashem and to do mitzvahs and to be a proper Jew, I need to feed that body. Where is that drive coming from? Is that coming from my body? No, it's coming from my neshama. Because I want to serve Hashem. I want to be able to serve Hashem. I want to be able to do mitzvahs. I want to be able to learn Torah. I want to be able to do all of these things healthily and with ability, and therefore that's emanating not from my body, from my craving, from my physical desires. It's actually indeed coming from the neshama. That's the ideal. Let the desire to eat come from the neshama. Be a neshama type of person. Think about what does the neshama want? The neshama wants that the body should be fed. The neshama wants for the body to be healthy. Because the only way that the neshama can grow and to fill you up is only if we are filled up. Only if we're physically filled up and healthy can the neshama fill us up as well. And that's what he says. He says, "Shanefesh misava lachilas basa." The nefesh itself, the neshama also wants to eat meat. "Shanefesh margish," because the nefesh, the neshama recognizes and feels, "Shenitzrach lo achilas basa." It requires meat in this case, lahasogas divrei Torah. To understand the Torah, it's interesting. I didn't get further into this. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, he quotes this Gemara in Bava Kamma, that there are certain foods which seem to have a little bit more of a propensity to helping the person to think clearly. The Gemara says, remarkable Gemara. It's in Bava Kamma. It says that Rav Nachman was asked the Shaila question. And he didn't have he gave an answer. And then he said, the reason that I told you last night is not correct. Why? He said, what I said with last night was not correct. The lo achali bisra desor, because last night I hadn't eaten meat of an ox. I hadn't eaten ox meat. And that's, and so therefore my answer wasn't as clear. Tosfos explains, he said, literally, he was having a fast. He was in a fast and he hadn't eaten his piece of steak, his piece of meat. Now it's assumed and understood and implicit that Rav Nachman was not an indulgent over in that he was a righteous man. He was a tzaddik. He was a tremendous human being. So how much meat he ate was probably a very tiny meat of meat, but he apparently the meat was something which was propitious for helping his mind to think clearly. But his attitude towards it is, I hadn't eaten the meat, which helped my mind to be able to be clear in the Divrei Torah and in the Psak Halacha, the ruling of law, which I have to give to you. But that's coming from the Neshama. It's all emanating from the Neshama. But the point is this idea, how are we approaching our food? Are we approaching our food? Are we eating? And are we eating even healthily in order to strengthen our bodies, to become healthy, live long and enjoy more of life? Or am I eating healthy, exercising, making sure my body is healthy so that I'm healthy so that I can do mitzvahs, that I can learn and do mitzvahs? The Rambam says this. Hilchos Deos in the Rambam. He says, the law of dispositions, He says, a manig atzmel pirifu, someone who lives his life according to the proper principles of health. Im soma libo shia kol gufa veirar shleimim, bilvad. If he focuses his attention that his body and his limbs should be healthy only, and he should have children who can work for him and do things for him, that's not the derech tova. Ein zo derech tova, that's not the proper path. If my entire focus is purely that I should be healthy, strong, so that I can be healthy and strong, so that I can go to the beach, so that I can run, so that I can do all my physical activities, ein zo derech tova, the Rambam says. That's not the proper path. Eliyosim alibo, a person needs to put his heart, shigufa shalem, that his body is whole and complete, v'chazak and strong, kadei in order, shatiya nafsho yeshara, that his soul is straight, ladas es Hashem, to know Hashem. That's the focus. I've got to be healthy, so the mind is clear, and I can think about God, and I can do mitzvahs with strength, with enthusiasm, and that's the sole purpose of keeping healthy. That's the reason why we keep healthy, to make sure that my body is healthy so that I can serve Hashem and do mitzvahs. You know, I was thinking to myself, people train and people exercise and people build up muscle stamina so they can go, for example, to the Grand Canyon on a hike to the Grand Canyon. You know, let's say you want to go for a hike somewhere and you went with your friends to the Grand Canyon. And, you know, you see, and you're not so fit. You want to make sure you're really fit and strong and able to have the stamina. So you work up towards it. You work up towards it, towards doing that. That's making sure you're healthy so you can enjoy life, so you can enjoy the physical world. Now, if you're doing that in order to behold the magnificence of creation, that's already a spiritual focus. But I don't know how many people think about that exclusively. But it's normal to build yourself up, have exercise and to make sure you're healthy, to enjoy the good things of life. You're going on vacation with your family. You want to make sure you're healthy. You can enjoy it. That's all about self-indulgent satisfaction. How about getting healthy and strong so that you can, I don't know, walk the 2 miles to Shul on Shabbos. You can have the stamina. You can do it. You can walk that distance. You don't have to get into the car. That's getting healthy and doing exercise and eating well and doing yoga and all of these things so that we can do the mitzvahs properly and not have any complaint. We're strong and it doesn't bother me. I can do it. That's keeping healthy for the sake of doing mitzvahs. That's the proper way. That's the proper attitude towards staying healthy. It emerges, therefore, right, that there's really almost like four types of eating habits, right? Eating habit number one is gluttonous, self-indulgent overeating. That's everywhere we recognize that's really bad. Eating habit number two is actually fasting and self-deprivation, which itself is not good. That's what the Sefer Chinuch said at the beginning. You know, fasting and self-deprivation is not good. I met a person this week, very interesting. I met this guy this week, and he said to me that he's fasting. He's presently fasting. He's not Jewish. But he's fasting. He's a healthy, like a strong guy. And he said he's fasting. Oh, very nice. So I said, you know, we also fast. You know, that's also a Jewish tradition also to fast. Except when he told me the following, I said, well, how'd you do your fast? So I just assumed he was going to say that he fasts from the morning till the evening, sunrise to sunset. So he says, no, I'm doing a 3 week fast. I said, oh, wow. 3 week fast. From every day, morning, sunrise to sunset. I guess you eat in the evenings. He says, no. He says, it's a 3 week fast where all I consume is water and tea with a little bit of honey for 3 straight weeks. I don't consume any physical food whatsoever. Right. I said, why are you doing this? He says, I want to become more spiritual. I want to get closer to God. I want to get closer to my soul. Now, it's very impressive. The stamina, the ability to be able to do that is very, very impressive. But I've been thinking about this all week long. Is that the ideal? Well, aside from the fact that if a Jew did that, they'd be violating various things because there's a mitzvah to eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You can't do that. But aside from that, that's not the proper derech to take. Because A, it could be unhealthy. You can harm yourself. And B, that's not what Hashem wants us to do. Hashem does not want us to deprive ourselves to such an extent. He wants us to use all of the food and to elevate the food, to make brachas, it goes without saying, making brachas on the food, to use all of this to help us to serve Hashem better. That's the ideal goal. So again, we have eating habit number one, overindulgent gluttonous eating, very bad. Even fasting and self-deprivation is also not good. Eating habit number three is healthy eating, very, very healthy eating, but for the sake of health and longevity, simply to enjoy more of this world, better, but still not the ideal. The ideal eating habit is eating healthy in order to serve Hashem. Eating healthy to serve Hashem, that's the ideal eating habit, and that's our goal. That's our goal. So that is the message of the Pasuk. That's what the Pasuk is saying. So when the Pasuk says, V'amarta, and you say, Och lebos, I'm going to eat meat. Kisava nafshecha, based upon the desire of my soul. I'm going to eat meat because my soul desires it. Because I need to be healthy, and I'm going to eat in order to be healthy. That's why I'm going to eat. Good. Go ahead and shech that animal as long as you follow the laws of shechita, and you're good to go. So that's what this Pasuk is saying. Now, we're reading this Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, this week's Parsha. Parshas Re'eh is always Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Mevarachim for Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? Elul is Tuesday and Wednesday this year, so it's this week. So, you know, it's the time again, 1 month before Rosh Hashanah. So I heard from someone I listened to, he quoted the Sadegura Rebbe, Eli Melech Biederman, he quoted the Sadegura Rebbe that says that the word Re'ei, the name of the parasha Re'ei, is the letters Reish Aleph Hey. So the Sadegura Rebbe used to say Reish Aleph Hey are the first letters of Rosh Elul Hayom. Right? Reish, Rosh, Aleph, Elul, Hey, Hayom. The Rosh of Elul is Hayom. What does that mean? The head of Elul is Hayom. What does that mean? So the Zohar says that the word Hayom is always an allusion to Rosh Hashanah. So the ultimate Hayom is Rosh Hashanah. Right? The ultimate day of the year is Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. So Hayom is a code for Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Elul is Hey. Rosh Elul has Hayom. At the beginning of Elul is a reminder of Rosh Hashanah. That's how Elul begins, to remind ourselves of Rosh Hashanah, because we have 1 month to go. And if you read the pasuk at the beginning of the parasha, it says, Re'ei Anochi Nosei Lifneichem Hayom. I present before you, even before Rosh Hashanah comes, Rosh Hashanah is here right now. And this is the pointer to the fact that Elul is always the time to start revving up the engine, to really start thinking more seriously that Rosh Hashanah is coming, 1 month away. And we know Rosh Hashanah, everything is decided in Rosh Hashanah the coming year. And who does not shudder over what has happened in the past year? And to think about the fact that what has happened in the past year was all decreed last Rosh Hashanah. I'd mentioned, I think in my Wednesday class, I mentioned that I keep in my shtender in shul the Rosh Hashanah Machzor. I did this after Rosh Hashanah last year, and I put a piece of paper. It's surreal. I put a piece of paper inside the Machzor by Nisana Tokef, right? As a reminder for myself that Nisana Tokef, we really focus and we think about, we cry over this day as things are being decided, the decrees in Shemaim are being decided in Rosh Hashanah. Nisana Tokef really brings that out very emotionally. So I put the piece of paper over there to think, to always remind myself, you know what, Rosh Hashanah, everything gets decided. You know, I did that on Rosh Hashanah last year. Who would have thought in a million years what was really taking place and what did take place? So I keep that, the Machzor in my shtender, but the point is that things are decided, life is decided. That's our tradition. That's our Mesorah, that everything is decided on Rosh Hashanah. This is Torah. Everything in the year to come is decided in Rosh Hashanah. How we prepare, therefore, on Elul is the key to what the decrees are in Rosh Hashanah. That's why we have an Elul. Elul is designed for, it's there for working to bring our focus back to our purpose and to our life, what it's really all about. And this message over here, this from the one I just was going through, is suddenly a very, very important message to realize, to get clear, what's life about? What is it all about? It's about the neshama. It's about the desire. It's about the cravings. It's about the wishes of the neshama. It's what the neshama wants. The neshama just wants Hashem. All the neshama, I just want Hashem. I want Hashem. I want His Torah. I want His halacha. I want His mitzvahs. That's all. The neshama is inside. That's, realize this. We have to realize this. I'm not always my neshama. People say this, I'm not my neshama. Yes, you are potentially your neshama. Your free will, the bechira point inside all of us, is not always the neshama. The bechira point is a part of you, is who you are. It's really the essence of who you are. I can choose to either be in my neshama, or I could choose to be in my guf. That's the balance of free will. That's what the pasuk goes on to say, choose life. And they, later on in the parasha, choose. Who I am is my choosing essence, my choosing self. I can choose to be neshama. I can, the neshama is there. It's static in the sense that it's not influencing me. It's growing and it fills me up more and more and more and more. The more neshama I choose, that becomes part of me. I become filled up with neshama, but I can choose to ignore the neshama. I can choose to ignore the neshama. I can choose to indulge myself in the physical, in the body. That's my choice. That's my power. That's the power of choice. So choosing neshama is what it's all about. So even when you're eating, when involving physical things, do it based upon the neshama. Think about the neshama. That's certainly the overarching lesson of life, but certainly during Elul, as we approach Elul right now, to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, the Revolbe, famous Revolbe, was on a plane from France to Switzerland many, many years ago. And he was writing a letter to someone on the plane. And he said in the letter, he said, you know, if you take a train from France to Switzerland, it takes 7 hours, at least those days. It takes 7 hours to get from France to Switzerland, 7 hours. But in a plane, it just takes an hour. Like, why is that? Why does it only take an hour in a plane? So he said, because when you lift it off from the ground, you go much faster. When you're away from the ground, you go much faster. And that is the message of here. When you lift yourself, when we lift ourselves above the ground of physicality, of the desire of the body, we lift ourselves higher into the world of neshama, we go much faster, we go better places, we go higher, we have much greater success in our mission in life. That's the message, right? So we go into Elul, we should think about this now, today, right now, to think neshama, 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 neshama. That's the driving force. As long as we think of what does my neshama want? What does my neshama want? My neshama wants Hashem. My neshama wants Torah. My neshama wants mitzvahs. My neshama wants the halacha. My neshama wants, that's all your neshama wants. Choose neshama. Choose neshama.